And welcome back, spooky people, to another episode of That Spooky Life. I am your host, Miranda, and I am happy that you have joined us today. Happy December, all. It is the first podcast episode of December 2020, and that is very exciting. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful time. Hopefully, if you are a Black Friday shopper, you have gotten all your lovely Black Friday shopping done, working on maybe even getting all your Christmas shopping done. It's a fun and interesting and sometimes grueling time of year leading up to Yuletide and Christmas and all of that fun stuff. We are going to dive right in today with a story that happened, I think it was closer to Thanksgiving. I remember the time of year because we were wearing jackets and it wasn't terribly hot outside, but I don't think it was terribly close to Christmas. But it is something that I remembered recently and realized I hadn't thought about in a really long time. So my spooky story for the day was sparked by my mother giving me something. She handed me an old glass box that had a bunch of rocks in it that I collected a long time ago. Being homeschooled, you know, she was also my teacher, and I really liked going out and getting rocks out of the yard and trying to figure out what kind of rock it was. Was it granite? Was it sedimentary? All that good stuff. And I was looking for one particular thing in this box, and it was an old arrowhead that I found. It was the only arrowhead I ever found on the property, but it had been like a treasured possession of mine. Like, I fancied myself an archaeologist for a very long time after that. But there was a story attached to it that even though the arrowhead wasn't in there, and we're not entirely sure what happened to the arrowhead over the years, I remembered that there was far more to it than just finding an arrowhead. And that little arrowhead, when we found it, just dug up in our front yard beside our driveway, it was damn near perfect. It wasn't chipped. It was preserved beautifully. It was made out of a lot of the same stone that was still in the area. And I remember finding it, and I showed my brothers, and one of them tried to snatch it, and I took it back, and I went running to the house to show my parents. I was like, this is mine. I showed it to my mom, and I said, I think this is an actual arrowhead. And she's like, oh my goodness, yes it is. So she took it, we cleaned it off, we put it on the mantelpiece where I usually kept my other rocks, and I went immediately back to that same spot and in the same area, and started trying to look for more. And of course, my siblings were also looking for more, because we all wanted our own arrowhead. And I felt like we were being watched by multiple people, to the point that I turned around thinking that it was just that feeling of like my mother and my grandmother watching from the porch or something like that. But no, my parents and my grandmother had stayed inside. But I still felt like multiple people were watching us, and I never saw anyone with like my physical eyes. So it unnerved me enough that I stopped and I went back inside and told my mom. I was like, I don't know. I feel weird now. I feel like we were being watched and there's nobody out there. And my mom explained like the history of the area as she knew it, which was it was a travel through path for some of the native tribes, the Cherokee and the Etowah, I believe. And she told me that there was a way to be respectful. And if I felt like somebody was watching, then thank them for the discovery. You know, hope that they have a peaceful stay, rest, whatever it was that I felt, in order to be respectful about it. And I was always encouraged to do respectful things like that. My bedroom window overlooked the spot next to the driveway where we had actually found the arrowhead. And for the next few weeks, honestly, and I kept seeing people, like moving through the trees, I would see movement and I would leap up to look out my window. And I really thought that these things that I was seeing behind my very thin curtains were real. But whenever I would leap up to look directly, there was no one there. I had some dreams. And then one day, after one of these dreams, I went out there and just sat down and stared and started listening. And I realize now that even though I didn't know what it was at the time, I was kind of meditating and like psychically focusing on the area. And I realized that a lot of the movement I had been seeing and the impressions that I was getting was that, like, people were working there, where they made and fletched more arrows. I could see all of that basket weaving, all of that. I could see all of it in my mind's eye. And then I realized that they also were somewhat aware and would watch us from the woods when we were playing outside. Some of them had kinder expressions than others. Some were sour-faced, others with a warm, if watchful eye because we were children. They weren't around a lot when, like, parents or adults were present. Sometimes that happened when my parents are around, but honestly, if there were other adults around, they never showed up. I never sent them, never saw them, anything like that. A friend of mine who came to spend the night saw one once. And they asked me if there was somebody in the woods, should we tell my parents? And of course we did, just in case. But I was pretty sure that I knew what it was. And after my parents looked around the property and didn't see anybody, the dogs hadn't been freaking out, anything like that, I said that it might have been someone that was not alive. And then I had to explain the Civil War soldier ghost on our property and the native spirits. And let me tell you, that was, air quotations, fun as a kid to try and figure out how to explain I sense ghosts without, you know, alienating yourself from the people you wanted to play and hang out with, because kids are mean. But my friend didn't make fun of me. She actually believed me, and she never went into our woods again, sort of understandably. Between the Civil War and the many varied histories of the native tribes in the area, intertribal conflicts, as well as the invasion of the white man, it was an interesting experience growing up on that mountain. I miss it often and think about it quite frequently. And what it would be like to go back? I have a feeling I'd have sort of a, this is my house, my parents and my grandmama built this house. This is my property. And I would be more adult about it, but internally probably be how I ended up feeling. So I think it'd be interesting to go back and see what might be still lurking around in the woods. How much of the woods is still left? I don't know. Somebody else may have cleared out some more. It would be interesting to see that. But if I do ever go back, y'all will be the first to know, and I will update you. But that is my spooky story for the week.
Adventures in time and space.
In 2013, it all began. Well, it got serialized in 2017. How they got to space, you'll just have to listen to find out. Bastards of the Universe is an entertainment and nostalgia podcast with a hint of space opera and a happy helping of good old-fashioned comedy cheese. Join the crew's many misadventures, like malfunctioning teleporters and a number of soiled pants, as they attempt to fulfill all of your nostalgia, review, and spacefaring needs. Bastards of the Universe is available on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Casts. Pick your favorite platform and check it out. If you like what you hear, tell them you were sent from the spooky side. That should freak them out. Our listener story for the day, again, continues the epic chronicles of Listener Cupid. I am very excited to get into this. And go. Cupid writes, I was raised in a Christian church. My grandfather was the pastor of his own church until he passed away from lung cancer when I was 9. I feel whatever called him to the faith echoes in my heart as well, but the church we joined after the dissolution of his congregation was a fire and brimstone, Southern Baptist kind of church, which posed some challenges for my spiritual growth. The thing I thought was beautiful about this church, and a lot of churches, was that they ended every service with the call to come forward to be saved. I never went down to the altar because I thought it was hypocritical that they said on the one hand their religious relationship with God was personal, and then turn around and make a big show out of their personal relationships with God. People crying over each other and putting hands on each other's heads while the organ player pounds out gospel music missed me with that carnival atmosphere. But the ritual of pledging yourself to the betterment of the world was not lost on me, and the beautiful symbolism of a baptism, being plunged into spiritual amniotic fluid to be born anew, that had power to it. So, in the privacy of my own bathtub, I would baptize myself in what was close to a cleansing ritual. My nightly prayers were whispered fealty to the forces of good in the universe. The thing that was ugly about this church was that they did not like to be questioned or challenged by a little 13-year-old know-nothing, as a consequence for not being able to sit quietly and nod in agreement I was told not to return to church because my inquisitiveness was giving the other children ideas, and I might lead them to question their faiths as well. Side note for me, heaven forbid children be taught to think for themselves. Heaven forbid. In their professional opinions, they needed to protect the flock by getting rid of the black sheep. At the time, it was deeply painful to be rejected, but I now know with my adult mind that I was asking things that they didn't have the answers to themselves, and they probably felt very foolish. In that way, I removed their authority and shook their faiths as well. Their bruised egos lashed out in fear, so I forgive them now. I like to think if my grandfather had been around, he would have gone toe-to-toe with me in theology. But since he wasn't around, I needed to find something else that spoke to me. What I learned at church was that beautiful rituals spoke to me, and because I was, quote, rebel without a clue, I love that, rebel without a clue. I know the thing that would shock those pious ninnies was most any form of witchcraft. So naturally, paganism was the next thing I took up. A couple of buddies and I played at having a, quote, coven. But I always took my pact with the powers that be seriously. So when my buddies were doing love spells, I was meditating on the idea of loving freely. If they were doing beauty spells, I was thinking of how to cultivate inner beauty. I was studying how to flow in the stream of the universal will. We did most of our ceremonies while spending the night at South's house, as she had great expanse of forest that we could play in. One day, while we were all riding with South's mom, we passed the familiar church with its standalone reception hall en route to her house, and South asked if we would be interested in walking over to the church's graveyard the next day. That would be a Saturday, after breakfast, and we enthusiastically agreed. So the next day, we got up and got ready to make the trek on foot to the graveyard. It was a little more than a mile away, so it wasn't too terrible of a walk. We just chatted and joked along the way until we got to the graveyard. The graveyard was smallish, but had several old tombs. We walked through reading names and noticed some of them belonged to children and babies. We talked about how short life can be and who those children might have grown to be. We braided daisy chains out of wildflowers and put them as crowns on the concrete lambs atop the young ones' headstones. Then we noticed that some bad weather had knocked over some of the flowers, and we righted those and threw trash in a barrel the church was using as a trash can. It was a very methodical, respectful, and calming time, and I felt an ease within myself and my surroundings. Things were flowing. We spent about an hour traveling to the graveyard, and we spent another hour attending to the graveyard, so by that time, I began to be plagued by a nagging thirst. Being children, we didn't have the forethought to pack water. So I pointed to the reception hall and said, "I'm very thirsty. Maybe we can find a water spigot on the outside of the reception hall." We rounded the building with no sign of a water source, driving us forward until around the next turn, we found the front door of the reception hall, and it was standing wide open. Directly from the door where we stood, down rows of tables and chairs, bathed in light streaming in from the frosted windows, was the refrigerator. What luck! We all agreed to just take a little peek. We open her up, and it's a solid wall of Little Hug fruit drink barrels standing shoulder to shoulder, lining the shelves top to bottom. Eyes wide, "We could take as many as we want," said North. Thinking better of it, "This is a gift. We only take what we need," said I. We only took one apiece, which was barely noticeable in the multicolor sea of hugs. Shutting the fridge and making our way back out, the lights to the building had already been off, so as if by instinct, I activated the lock on the door and shut it snug behind us, jiggling the handle one last time to make sure we locked ourselves out. We began to head back down the road to the South's house. We started chatting and laughing again, and as we walked around a bend out of sight of the church, I see the fading scene of a police car with its light flashing aggressively onto the gravel parking lot of the church. Buddy looked ready to bust some no-good teenagers trespassing on church property. Naturally, we kept on walking. Ha! In a world where teenagers destroy graveyards, I'm sure a concerned neighbor called the police on us, thinking that we were causing mischief, and it makes me giggle to think of what the officer found upon investigation. A clean cemetery, a locked reception hall, and the only thing that would really mark that we had been there, flower wreaths on the head of the lamb statues. Reflecting back on the whole experience, I feel that because we kept our intentions pure, we were provided for when we were in need of hydration, and when there was an intention to see us in trouble, events lined up just right so we could escape. In that moment, I was enlightened about the magic power of respect. That is a lovely story. I think it is awesome that you guys were able to do that. And I quite agree that it can be very important to be respectful. And when you are doing good in the world, it's not often that you immediately see such good returned, but it does come back. And it is awesome on those occasions that it is returned so quickly. I have a great respect for you, since that was just when you were a teenager, and I happen to know for a fact you have done nothing but get better as a person as you go, and I adore you for it. And I have great respect for your friends and that story, and you guys had a wonderful experience that day, and I would like to thank you very much for sharing it with the Spooky Podcast. That is awesome. And that is our listener story for the day. Our witchy tip for today is probably more of like a common sense thing. These happen occasionally, but you would be surprised at how important self-care, healthcare, personal maintenance, just staying in a good headspace, staying healthy, can do for any psychic abilities or personal power that you have at your disposal. Lots of people think that personal power is grown by like meditation and learning new things or refining what power you have, doing things. And while that is absolutely part of it, personal power is also grown by literally taking care of yourself and paying attention to your own needs and paying attention to the needs of those around you, such as a husband or a child or a roommate, people in your environment. So my witchy tip for today is winter is coming. Brace yourself and pace yourself. There are a lot of health concerns in the world, intensely and acutely in the U.S., this winter, and you're not gonna do anyone any favors by overdoing it, especially yourself. The best magic for you to be effective and successful is self-care. Again, we've talked about it before. I will probably say it again at some point, but I want to remind everyone going into the cold season to make sure that you do the following. Get sleep. Stay warm and dress appropriately for the weather. Don't stay outdoors too long. Practice safe health habits like washing hands, wearing a mask, etc. And, you know, if you have vitamins that you take, if you have airborne or emergency or things that can help boost your immune system, anything tea-wise, echinacea, whatever it is that you prefer, go ahead and start bolstering your immune system now if that is something that is for you. Putting yourself first. Even in the little ways that we've all heard about all of our lives to the point that we don't generally actively think about them anymore, can make all the difference. The idea of going to bed early and putting yourself on a schedule, making sure that you drink that glass of orange juice when you get up in the morning. You know, if you don't know that it's going to be cold because it's not terribly cold when you leave the house, throw a jacket in the car anyway, just in case. On the days where you do have to go out and do stuff, you know, take gloves, take a hat, practice all of the things that your mom told you when you were a kid to try and help you from getting sick, to try and make sure that you are getting the rest and relaxation that your body needs to be the best you that you can be. I know we all know these things. Y'all are smart, and I'm not expecting you to not know them, but it's a crazy world that we're living in right now, and I care about you guys. So my contribution, the best that I can do right now, is reminding you to take it easy. Do what you know that you need to do. Everybody's needs are different, but you know your needs. If you don't, take a step back, make a list, do some journaling. Figure out what your needs are in order to feel your best, in order to know what you need to do. Put yourself a little first over the shopping, the baking, traveling, whatever your early to midwinter is going to look like. And be kind to yourself and others, because we're all going through the struggle right now, and you never know when a little kindness is all that's needed. So take care of yourself, take care of your own, and be kind to one another. Winter is coming. So next week, we are going to start the Christmas tales. Yay! I've had a few wonderful spooky listeners send me some Yule or Christmas themed stories, and those will start next week through the end of December. Woohoo! We will have one on Christmas Day. That is going to be exciting. And then after that, honestly, if I get a few extra, then we can totally do those as like a, you know, collective story before the end of the year, because Yuletide is technically through New Year's. So I am all about, you know, extending the holiday as long as I can, because really, who's not? But that being said, if you have a Christmas spooky story, a Yule spooky story, or just a spooky story in general, I know we have a few new listeners. I would like to welcome you all, and I'm glad that you're here. If you have a story you'd like to share, please send it to thatspookylifepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram @thatspookylifepodcast, where I post fun things, pictures of graveyards, episode updates, whatever, you know, the fun stuff. And we have a Facebook page now, so feel free to search out That Spooky Life Podcast on Facebook and hit it up with a like and a good time. Additionally, I have enabled listener support on anchor.fm/that-spooky-life. If you guys feel like throwing in some support for the podcast, feel free. I know a lot of people are tight right now, so there is never anything expected, but I know a few people have reached out about how best to help support the podcast. If you have the means, please feel free to do so. If not, no worries. We're just happy to be here together on the spooky side of things. Next week, we'll start off with the Christmas episodes. I am excited about it. And until then, my dear friends, please do not forget to keep living that spooky life. Bye.